Deidre Dino. I'm the head of admissions and advising at Webster Vienna Private University. And I'm here with our admissions team, our admissions officers at Webster Vienna, together with our partner agency, MIE, represented by Mr. Malik Bourg.
So I'm very happy to have you here and I have the chance to talk to you. First of all, I would like to just say a little, some sentences about Webster University. Why Webster University? What do you think about that? Why it's a good place to study? Please.
I can start if you want. I would say that what we always tell our prospective students and our partners is that Webster Vienna Private University combines the best of American and European higher education. And we're located in one of the best cities in the world.
Yes.
Actually, the city with the highest quality of life based on a lot of surveys that have been put out. And this is one of the biggest reasons why students come to us. First of all, we are an American university. Our main campus is in St. Louis, Missouri. We do have our main campus in the United States, as opposed to a lot of universities saying they're American, but they have no connection at all to the U.S.
Yes.
That's the first thing. Second thing is since 2001, we have been accredited in Austria, which means that we are also able to award an Austrian diploma. Yeah?
Okay.
With one degree, you can get an American diploma from our parent campus and an Austrian diploma from us as a private university.
Okay, great. So it's actually kind of two supports for the academic certificate. One from the American university back in US and the other one is here in Austria.
Yes, exactly.
And what is your role here? I just want the students to know you more, your colleagues.
Yes, of course.
So, yes, please.
So I'm the head of admissions and advising, and that means I manage two teams. I have our admissions officers here, Stepan and Veronica. They basically process applications from students, get to know the profile of the students, and see if they're a good fit for this university. Because we have standards that we have to maintain, we want to make sure that the students who come here are able to actually learn what they want to learn and pursue a career eventually after graduating with a particular degree, whether it's a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. I also head the advising team. So after admission, basically they become our students. I start the process of registering them in their classes, whether it's an English preparation program or the regular bachelor's or master's program. I help select their classes for the first semester.
Right?
After that, I hand them over to the advising team. I don't have the advising officers here, but we actually have two people dedicated to helping the students plan their career and plan their academic career, which means they're not taking courses that they don't need.
I see.
And they're taking the courses which will help them complete the degree.
Yes.
Yeah? So, and also giving them advice as to what they should not do. For example, they shouldn't be absent a lot from the classes. They should be attending classes, submitting the assignments, participating in class. So this is the American style of education. And they also help them with their graduation requirements. So there's support from the very beginning from our admissions team, and then further support as they become students from our advising team. And our admissions officers, Stepan and Veronica, they can explain a little bit more about what they look for in prospective students.
Please.
Yeah, so thank you very much for this opportunity. We normally look, we normally tend to apply so-called holistic approach towards the applications. It means that we are not concentrated only on GPA or only on essays, but we try to look at different parts of the application.
Yeah? Yes.
So when someone applies to Webster, we really look at each document, each uploaded document. So for us, it's really important to see the recommendation letter, the essay, how student can express him or herself. Also, of course, we check GPA because it's a part of the standard admission process and we cannot accept someone with very low GPA, obviously. But yeah, we are not very much focused on only on GPA. Yes. So
yes.
If the GPA, for example, is not very high, but student still wants to proceed with the application, then of course, we encourage students to work more on the other parts of the document, of the documentation of the application, so to improve the essay, for example, or to show his or her ability during the interview, which can be also a part of the acceptance procedure.
Yes.
Interviews are not like the mandatory part, but sometimes we include it in the admission procedure.
Okay.
However, interviews are mandatory for all master degree applicants. So if someone is applying for the MBA or for psychology or for the international relations program, then the applicant must go through the interview process with the head of the department, of the relevant department. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then of course the interview could be even tougher than the admissions interview, because they tend to ask very specific questions about their future studies, about their motivation, about their, I don't know, past work as well, about their diploma, bachelor's degree, degree diploma, and then we're just waiting for the feedback from them.
Your university is one of the only ones who provides two different courses, actually some kind of English bridging program.
Yeah.
And also direct to some courses. If you kindly explain some barriers, some obstacles, some positive points for each side. I understand that if the student doesn't have sufficient English, let's say, knowledge, he could come and improve here, or he can directly go, for example, to psychology and graduate from that course. Tell us about both of them. What would you like to explain to the students about?
Of course, exactly. So we do have two options for the students without the relevant English language knowledge. So our minimum minimum language acceptance level is IELTS 6 or TOEFL 80 or PTE Pearson Test of English 53, as far as I remember.
Yeah,
53. This is the minimum for the direct acceptance to the undergraduate, for the undergraduate program, for the bachelor's degree program. If someone has IELTS 5.5 or TOEFL, let's say 75 or PTE 50, then we encourage this applicant to go to the preparatory English program,
okay,
which can be one semester or 1 year long. It depends on the outcome of the interview with the head of the English language department. Yes, so there is an additional interview for the students without the sufficient English language knowledge.
Okay,
and then the teacher of English, or one of our teachers of English, will be in the position to evaluate the exact level of the student, and then give us a feedback about the requirement, whether the student has to stay for one semester or 1 year. But even if the student was admitted for the 1 year English preparatory program, there is a chance to complete the program within one semester, because at the end of each semester there is an IELTS test, IELTS academic test, mm-hmm, which is arranged directly here on campus at Webster, one of our classrooms, because we have an agreement with the British Council. Mm-hmm. So they just come here, arrange everything for our students, so students feel very comfortable, safe during the IELTS examination, because
it's on campus.
Yeah, it's organized on campus. That's why students really, really has to use this opportunity, you know, and to attend the IELTS examination, even if they feel that they are not ready. It's good to try, at least to try and sit the test. Okay. We also organize mock tests before the actual IELTS test, so they can try before.
So you have also mock tests?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, there's actually a software program that they can use to practice questions in the IELTS.
Wow.
So I mean, it really, you can see that the students who practice a lot are the ones who pass, and those who don't practice,
exactly,
then they really have a hard time.
But everything is
available for them. They just have to do it. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, and we also have a computer class. We call it Mac Lab, with a very high efficient computers, let's say. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our ESL students use this class a lot for their studies, for the listening and for the test practicing.
I see. Yeah. I see. So before we go to the other points, what I understand is we have kind of language preparatory course here, but in this language course, students should have some kind of basic levels when they want to enter. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So the minimum acceptance level for the English preparatory program is B1 English proficiency.
IELTS 5.
IELTS 5, TOEFL TOEFL 70, I think. Yeah, TOEFL 70, PTE 1446. I need to double check the requirements
equal
for the PTE.
To IELTS 5 or BVOC. Even for, I was told that even the Duolingo, but in any case, if students have the IELTS, no matter which certificate, again, as a part of the admission process, they must attend the interview, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So, and if students have this basic language, let's say, knowledge, then he can attend the course. In this course, you will improve his knowledge either in one semester or in two.
Or in two,
Okay, and then afterwards, he gets into his, when he passes his IELTS, then he has to attend the exam. For bachelor, he needs IELTS 6. And for
master's 6.5. Overall IELTS,
So for this language course, what is the most important part is the language and also other other documents. Like you said, recommendations.
Yeah, so the application is the same for both programs. So if the student wants to start with the language course, the student still has to prepare the whole application package. So we still ask for the...
I just wanted to add, the reason why we have the English preparation is for students to enter the regular program, not because they just want to learn English. The goal should be to complete it and then proceed to the regular program, which means that at the point of application, they should already indicate which program they want to attend after this English preparatory program is done. So the goal ultimately is to join the regular.
And that's why we are asking for the whole application package. So there still must be transcripts, essay, letter of recommendation, and the proof of English proficiency.
Okay.
Even if the student is applying for the English preparatory program, because as Deidre said, the application should be targeted to the regular program, which will follow the English program after.
Where are we now?
We are on the, I consider it the most beautiful part of our university. This is the bridge on the third floor that you can see the most beautiful view of our university, and you can see how it really looks from the inside. It's also the bridge where a lot of, usually students come here to take pictures of themselves, of the university as well, during the campus tours or already being students here.
Yeah, this is actually one of the most famous TikTok and Instagram spots. So if you subscribe to our media, you will find a lot of videos and reels filmed here on this bridge. Here we have the student lounge.
One of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
Okay. So usually here students come in here to relax, to have a lunch, to talk to each other, or to study, or to do something in between their classes. It's a very beautiful spot because here we have a lot of information for our students about our clubs, about everything that is happening on the campus in the specific week or semester. As well, over here there are a lot of pictures from our previous events that we have been holding at Webster. As we've been talking already to you and we'll be telling you, we do combine the American with the Austrian education, but as well culture. Therefore, we show our students the American culture as well as the Austrian. So for example, we have the Thanksgiving dinner absolutely every year in the atrium downstairs, where students can experience to eat the turkey and all the cuisine of the American cuisine of that specific holiday. As well as in the Austrian way, we tend to get the students, we go with them to the Austrian Ball of Science, where students can experience the beautiful environment of being dressed up in suits and dresses and dance around and experience the Austrian balls. We do have our own parties and events. So for example, we have the Webster Got Talent that's happening every year. So each of our students who has a talent or they think they do and they want to show it to us, they can do so. And if they win, they can go and compete against the other European campuses. So that's a lot of fun for them as well. If they don't do a study abroad, they can visit another campus by doing this. So they go for several days. We do different parties, Halloween parties, any other types of that, semester openings or closing parties done by the SG, the Student Government Associations. So yes, this is a lot of, and tons even more with a lot of, for example, we do celebrate the new year, the Iranian new year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's gonna happen tomorrow.
It's gonna be next, well, this week.
This week,
actually.
No, it's gonna be this week, yeah, on Thursday. We also celebrate that in the atrium for our students.
Yeah.
Exactly, and we do have other events happening for Eastern and any other holidays that our students celebrate.
Let's go back to the other also necessity, or let's say what they require, mm-hmm, is also financial support. How much is the cost of each semester here? Mm-hmm. Because I want the students to hear from you, the mm-hmm university itself.
Very
so
important.
Please, if someone could explain to us how much it costs, the English language course.
So the English language program is currently 6,500 euros per semester, mm-hmm, or 13,000 per year.
Yes. Okay.
For two semesters. Yeah. And this is the flat fee for the English program. Classes are offered from Monday to Thursday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a very intensive program,
mm-hmm, okay,
with a lot of actual English lessons,
assignments,
a lot of assignments, home assignments as well. And the first, I think from 9 to 12, they are doing just the basic English course, and from 12 to 2, there is an IELTS preparatory lesson every day. Yeah,
okay.
So, just to clarify, the university is a private American university. We don't receive any subsidies or support from the government, whether it's Austria or the US.
Mm-hmm.
So majority of our operational funds come from tuition fees.
Yes.
So that means that for our programs, there are specific tuition fees that have to be paid yearly,
mm-hmm,
right? There's a difference, of course, between bachelor's and master's. And as our admissions officers told us earlier, there's also a separate fee for the English preparation program.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we could say if a student is already qualified, they don't have to go through the English preparation program. They mm-hmm can go straight to our bachelor's or master's. Right?
Yes.
For the bachelor's degree program, unfortunately, because of inflation and cost of living, we also have adjustments every year.
Okay.
So what I'm going to say now is not going to stay forever the same. There's going to be an adjustment every year for cost of living and inflation adjustments in Austria.
Yes.
So, and that's that. Obviously, that's dictated by the market and other forces in economics. So for the bachelor's degree program, I have to first specifically say the bachelor's program in an American university is 4 years long. It's not 3 years.
Yes.
Which a lot of European universities say 3 years, yeah,
mm-hmm,
but 4 years for an American university.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have classes, of course, they have a previous degree, some of them will transfer over as electives. So maybe
okay
they can save a semester or 1 year.
Yeah.
But it depends on the program they're applying for, and we can go into the programs earlier, mm-hmm, next time. But for the tuition fee right now, we had an adjustment for 2024, the tuition fee for 1 year, and this does not include accommodation,
mm-hmm,
it doesn't include food, this is just tuition fee,
mm-hmm,
the cost of attending classes,
mm-hmm,
and getting all of the resources here in the university, that's 23,478 a year.
Mm-hmm.
This is for two semesters, right?
Okay.
So you divide that and you get the semester fee, that's for the bachelor's degree per year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, we understand, it's not cheap, but this comes with a lot of services that the student will get once they're here,
mm-hmm,
with the support services from the language center, from the quant center, from the library, the books are covered, so all instructions are covered. But what's not covered is accommodation,
mm-hmm,
their housing, and of course their food and living allowances, transportation,
okay,
health insurance, for example, right?
Okay.
For the master's degree, it's a little different because we charge you by the number of classes you take by semester,
okay,
right? So, for example, we have 3 master's degree programs, no longer 4. So that's another development. We are removing the marketing master of science because it's not the most popular program anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're creating a new program in the future, but we're not yet sure what that would be. For the master's degree program, we have the Master of Business Administration, which is one of the most popular degree programs.
Mm-hmm.
All of these programs are for 2 years. Right, and the estimated tuition fee for the MBA without the introductory course for non-business graduates, for
mm-hmm
example, if you have a degree in psychology and you want to do the MBA, you don't have accounting, finance, economics, so you'll have to take an extra course.
Okay.
But if you had a business degree, which was taken in the last 5 years, and you want to do the MBA here, then the estimated tuition fee for 2 years would be 30,600 euros. Euros, right?
Okay.
But that is an estimate because we have adjustments every year, right? technically you're only paying for the courses you're taking by semester, right? So if you're taking two courses in your first semester, you're paying fewer or a smaller fee than when you go into your second semester with three courses.
I see.
Right? So let's say per course is currently 2,550 euros. So if you're taking two courses, you're paying 5,100. You're paying three courses, you're paying 7,600, right? So it really depends. And obviously, we have a plan that you follow through the advising team, mm-hmm. where you take two courses, three courses, four courses, thesis.
I see.
Right? So the thesis is the final semester.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just basically 4 US credits. So you multiply that by the per credit hour fee. That's all you pay in your final semester. Because you don't have too many classes anymore. But the estimate is about 30,600 for 2 years. For psychology, which is also a two-year program, but it has more courses, of course it's more expensive because there are more courses to take. So if you have 15 courses as opposed to 12, mm-hmm. then you will have 40,800 euros estimated for 2 years.
I see.
Yeah, so it's almost 41,000 if you take in inflation. But that's for the entire 15 courses,
right?
So, which you can take, of course, also on a part-time basis. If mm-hmm. you wanted to, if you found a job and you want to work, the residence permit as a student allows you to work only up to 20 hours per week. But mm-hmm. if you happen to find a job, then of course you will need time to do the work and you will probably need just two courses instead of four, right? So there is flexibility built into the program. But, you know, obviously, if you're part-time, you will take longer to graduate.
Yes.
Yeah, so a bachelor's program is 4 years, longer if you're working, if you're doing part-time. And for the master's, it's supposed to be 2 years full-time. But if you find a job and you're working part-time, then you might need 3 years
mm-hmm.
to graduate from a master's program. That's the difference. So again, doesn't include accommodation. That doesn't include food, transport, health insurance, other living costs. In Austria right now, I would say the estimates, if you are applying for a student residence permit, which is absolutely required if you want to study in Austria with the intention of studying. Yeah, so there's no, they don't tell you that you have to work because you're not supposed to be working. You're supposed to be studying with a student residence permit.
Yes.
If you find a job, good for you, but that's not the reason why you're here. So the student residence permit relies on the fact that you are studying and passing your courses,
mm-hmm.
right? But in any case, to apply for a student residence permit, you have to show you have enough money to support yourself,
mm-hmm.
your education, your health insurance, and living costs and accommodation costs. So that means for, and it's age-based, unfortunately, for some reason. So when the immigration authorities look at your finances, they will look at your ability to pay. And so if you're below 24, they will look at your bank account and see if you have at least 8,000 euros,
uh-huh.
right? This is outside of tuition fees,
mm-hmm.
apart from tuition fees. So it's 8,000 estimated. It's about 7,693. I wouldn't say the exact amount, but it's increased also every year. For those who are 24 years old and above, it's up to 14,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
Yeah. So there is additional cost if you're older than 24, but that's the amount they want to see on your bank account. Yeah.
I see.
Plus the source of funds and your ability to support yourself. The residence permit is renewed every year, but not automatically. So they have 1 year for the residence permit. 2 months before it expires, mm-hmm. they should already apply for the extension. And the extension requires that we submit, or the student submits, the academic record to show that they're passing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. If they fail their classes, they cannot extend their residence permit. Very critical. And so if they're doing the English program, if they fail that because they're not showing up in class, they won't get a residence permit.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a certain number of credits that the immigration authorities look for and a certain minimum grade they have to pass. They don't get the credits if they don't pass. If they don't get the credits, they don't get renewed.
Okay.
Yeah? It's very important.
So the main attractions of the fourth floor for us is the library that we're going to be right here.
Let's go. Please follow us.
We will try to be a little bit quiet because the semester is going on and students are studying.
So yeah, here you can see we have like
three study rooms.
Study rooms.
Or project rooms, yeah. We call them, yes. Usually students come here to...
There is even a private place to study.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Students usually take these rooms to do a project in group if they have to, or if they want to study individually and more privately, they can book these rooms to at our librarian at the front desk and use the room for as much as they need.
Yeah, so this is our library. It has more than 19,000 paper books. It's one of the biggest libraries in the private universities in Austria. We have a lot of books related to the international relations, to psychology, to business and management, and to communication as well, to other social sciences. And here in the library, everything is quite comfortable for the students because they don't need to order the book very well in advance. They just can go here and for example ask Ben to help them, or just to find the book on the shelf and then go to Ben and tell him that I want this book, and that's it. There is no need to, you know, fill out any sophisticated forms or something like that. Everything is very, let's say, student related. Yeah, student oriented. And also we have an access to the digital resources, to various digital libraries, to the magazines, to the newspapers, to the scientific databases as well. Everything is included in the tuition fees of Webster Vienna. There is no extra hidden fees for the library, for the services, and also the textbooks are also included in the tuition fees. So there are no extra fees for the textbooks, which is quite important as well when it comes to studies.
Now we would like to talk about the opportunities here in Webster. Why Webster?
So with Webster Vienna Private University, we understand that students come here and invest in their education and they want something out of that.
Yes.
Return on investment. And so with the tuition fees that we mentioned previously, they are admittedly higher than what European private universities would normally demand. But there are lots of support services available. You know, to pay for these support services and for the people that provide these services, of course, the tuition fees are higher. So, for example, in our day-to-day operations, we have the Language Center, which helps students with academic writing, with presentations, with research proposals. So if a student doesn't know where to start, even if they have the English proficiency, that doesn't mean that you're amazing at doing a proposal, a research proposal, or you understand what plagiarism means. Our admissions officers also look at whether they're original in what they're writing, because it's not allowed to copy from sources without reference.
Yeah, it's absolutely not tolerated to use any AI in the in the essays or in the letter of recommendations.
Yes, exactly.
I know.
Or plagiarism.
Any kind of plagiarism.
Very important as well, because I myself did my bachelor's and studies in Southeast Asia. It wasn't really there. We didn't have a way to find out if students were copying what they were writing, and now we do. So the admissions officers have access to software which allows us to understand or to see if the student's work is original or not.
I see. Yeah. Even the AI, like ChatGPT.
Yes, you can ask these two. They have different sources, and we check and rerun all of the essays. So it's very important to be authentic. We don't need you to be perfect. We're not expecting people to be perfect.
Yes,
that's why you're going to university. But if it's perfect and your English level is 5.0,
then we have
and we know that this was this was copied. So anyway, but the presentations, writing, academic proposals, academic research writing, preparation for thesis writing, these are all provided by the Language Center. You just have to make an appointment. You have to show up and you can get that. You don't have to pay anything because that's included in the tuition fees. For those who struggle in mathematics and statistics, we also have the Methods and Quant Center. Right? These are four different professors from four different departments who can help them with research methodology, right? Statistics. And if they're about to do their thesis, they can also help them with whatever statistical tests they have to use in order to come up with their analysis of their results. Right? You have to do a thesis, whether it's bachelor's or master's. This is quite difficult for those who are not used to writing, and you have to write it in English.
Yes.
Right? So the challenge there is that, you know, you will have to do your own literature research, and then you'll have to actually do specific tests to test your hypothesis and to answer your research questions. So with that in mind, and everything is in English, you need help. So yes. That's why we have four professors dedicated to helping students by appointment.
So it's not like the public university in which normally I studied in, mm-hmm. in a public university. Mm-hmm. You know, we were writing an email to a professor. It took like even months to get an answer. But now in this private university, yes, it's correct that they pay, but mm-hmm. they get the full support kind
yes.
of.
Yes, they just really have to make an appointment. So that's the thing. And that's another thing. It's also important here to inform the person in advance that you want to meet them because they could have other meetings as
yes,
well.
Yes, sure.
Very important. I know that sometimes we did that also in Asia where you would just show up and expect someone to help you. But if they don't know you're coming, it could be that they have other students they're helping
yes,
out,
yes,
right?
Yes, you're right.
Same with admissions. If they need to get the documents from you and they don't know that you're coming and then you show up and no one is there because they have other appointments or we also go on recruitment trips. So they're not always in the office. So it's important to announce if they are... If they got their residence permit and they're already arrived in Vienna, they have to let us know before they arrive that they're here.
Okay.
So we can be ready and we can help them when they come in. Right?
I see.
Very important that students get in touch with us. That's why when they apply, we want them to use their email address, right? So we want them to use whatever email they're checking all the time.
Okay.
And that's another thing our admissions officers usually they get no reply because the student isn't checking the email, right? So very important. Another thing is we also have the career services department, mm-hmm. very important. So they organize a lot of events.
This is one of very important questions.
Yes.
So you have the support
we do.
Mm-hmm. For students to look for the job.
Yes, and to also help them write their CV. There's a certain format that the resume or the curriculum vitae has to follow. You can't just write it your own
way.
So
you help them for the CV,
yes.
and you also mm-hmm. invite the...
HR managers
HR,
from different
yeah,
companies.
Experts yeah, and
oh.
experts from
yeah.
different fields.
Yeah.
We also have ties and connections with
yes.
various organizations like United mm-hmm. Nations, OSCE, mm-hmm. World
or
Bank.
Even from UN.
Yeah,
yes.
Mm-hmm. yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, also with private companies as
mm-hmm.
well, and we organize a lot of events here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that every week something is happening mm-hmm. related to the future career of the students.
But every on and off, it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
A few times.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, so, and the most important thing is that students have to be also very proactive if they want
yeah.
to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we are offering a job here, but we offer a lot of opportunities and ways how to find a job
mm-hmm.
in Austria and how to tailor the
yes.
CV,
mm-hmm.
how to be ready for the job market in Austria,
mm-hmm.
how to be ready for the interview
yeah.
And that's the difference of Webster from the public universities because we not only developing the hard skills but we work a lot on the soft skills
mm-hmm.
and students here has like have a lot of opportunities to develop the soft skills during this extracurricular mm-hmm. events and meetings.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah.
So you even invite the HR managers from
yes.
the universities,
from the companies,
companies, and for even from the organizations like the UN,
mm-hmm.
and they come here, they see the very proactive students,
mm-hmm.
the ones who are more
yes.
talented, and
yes.
they can select the students for the job. Right?
Yeah, for the internship,
yeah, and of course
for
if they
the
know
job,
the student
yeah.
Because of an event, then they already know, oh, this was the student who was asking me all these questions during the career services event, right? OMV,
mm-hmm.
for example, it's a big oil and gas company in
yes,
Austria.
Yes, I know that.
Right? They were here 2 weeks ago, and
really?
We had
yes.
a nice seminar with our students who wanted to know how best to find a job in OMV. But 15 students showed up, and there were 100 that knew about it because it was announced on all of our posters and social media, and
so,
I know they follow our social media, but if they don't show up, the ones who show up will be the ones who are going to be considered first. It's just natural, right?
Of course.
Yeah,
yes.
So and that's the thing, we also expect them when they start their classes here, you're not just supposed to show up for exams, you're supposed to be there every day, right? So because we also grade your participation, we grade the tests that happen during the classes. So it's not a typical public university or European university where you just show up for the exams and pass and you're done.
Yes.
It's not like that. The exam is only one small part of your grade.
Okay.
Yeah,
so one of the most important parts is, you know, to build a bright future for a student.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if a student come here and he really attends the course, he studies, then he's got even a chance to find a proper job
mm-hmm.
and then he can stay here legally
mm-hmm.
according to the law and he can continue his future in a very, let's say, appropriate position.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is another point that the Webster University is considered as a real university, not a Schule, they call it a school.
Yeah.
So is it true that the student is granted 1 year after study to stay and look for the job? Can you please explain about that?
Yes, of course. So because of our status as an accredited private university in Austria, students who graduate from here, they get an Austrian diploma, they're given 1 year, an extension of their residence permit, which is as a student, but it's an extension, which we call a job seeker visa, a job seeker permit, which allows them 1 year to look for an employer who will then convert their student residence permit into a work permit, which is initially for 2 years, and then if they stay and they're successful, they can have it extended for another 3 years, and after that, they have a permanent residence track.
Yes.
Right? The only thing I would say is that don't wait until you graduate to start looking. Like I said, we have opportunities here on campus. They should already start talking to potential employers, possibly get an internship. That's one way to secure a place, or at least make an employer get to know you more. And if they realize that you're really good at what you do, then they'll offer you a job if they have an opening. But don't wait until after you graduate, because that for us is late.
Yes.
Right? If the events are happening now, then they should be showing up to these events even before, you know, 1 year, 2 years before they graduate, if they're doing the bachelor's, right? Because we've had students who had internships in their second year only, right? And it doesn't stop them from having an internship. And, you know, if they do it in the summer, it won't disrupt their studies. But if they wait until after they graduate, I would say they're a little behind. Yeah, so it's important that they take advantage of all of these opportunities on campus anyway.
Yes, yes.
We also have trips to Deloitte or Ernst & Young, you know, we organize visits to those companies so that they can also see the companies in their offices. So again, a lot of opportunities for students if they show up, and then they'll be aware of these opportunities, and they'll have an opportunity to also speak directly with potential employers.
Yeah, and I want to add one more thing about our trainership positions in the university. So we also offer so-called trainership scholarships and trainership positions for the students. So the students can work, for example, for the marketing department or for the library or for the Department of Business and Management or for the International Relations Department, work as a part-time student for 8 to 10 hours per week. And so they can first get the reduction of the tuition fees, and second, the work experience in Austria, which is very crucial if they want to find a job in the future here in Austria. Yeah, and that's just an additional thing that we offer to our students. Let's go to the media department. Here we have the recording studio for our media, for the students who are studying strategic communication programs or doing the media minor. Yeah, and so that's why we have facilities to do the records, to film, and to edit. Both videos and audio.
But also students who are studying something else, and if they're interested in this, they can always
use it. Everything is included in the tuition fees. So we will show you this video room here. So as you can see, we have all of the facilities like lights, cameras, mixers here. Everything can be used for the students. If the student has like a special project, for example, if something needs to be filmed for the thesis or for some paper, for some assignment, then students are encouraged actually to use this this facilities, this room here.
Also, if the student doesn't know how to use any of the facilities here, our professors and our students in the media department, they're more than happy to help, and they're here to help as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of no extra fee to
be. Absolutely not.
It just has to be booked in advance, because sometimes this room is busy. So yeah, that's the only requirement basically. Exactly. And if, as Veronica said, someone needs help with the equipment, then our professors at the media department, they are ready to help.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the question is, have you ever had students who were successful even in the first or second year to find a job, internship, something like that?
At the bachelor's level, usually there's a lot. For psychology master students, there is an internship required anyway, so we have to help them, because there are 500 hours of internship required for psychology.
So you help them for the internship?
Yes, because it's required. It's definitely required.
I see. Yeah.
And then it's up to them if they want to pursue, finding a job in that same place. Usually it's international schools for psychology. for business students, for example, we have had some students who, we had one Jordanian Austrian student in the first year in the summer. He already got a job at Visa, the credit card company. Not a job, an internship. We had one Ukrainian student in his fourth year. I think he got an internship, or just after he graduated, he was already in talks with an internship for a big gaming company in Austria. And after his internship, he was offered a job as an analyst. So that was already in the works anyway, within his 1 year job seeking period. And we also had a student from, I think, Slovakia. She had an internship after her first year with Mondi, which is a paper, international paper company. So there are examples of this. We've also had students who worked at the European Union as an intern, at the UN, United Nations, both at the master's and the bachelor's level. So it really depends on how good the student is, right? Mm-hmm. The opportunities are there. If they just wait for the employer to come to them, that's not going to happen. Right, they have to go to those events where they have a chance to connect. And what I've learned over the years, also being in Austria, networking is super important.
Yes.
Yeah? A network. Yes. Sometimes you're not even looking, and somebody mentions something to you.
Yes.
That's how I got into my first international school admissions position. Somebody just told me there's an opening, you know, because I got to know this person at a networking event. So networking is extremely important, and you should be networking with people outside of where you're comfortable. Right? Mm-hmm. You can't just stay with other Iranian students. For example, if you're an Iranian student here, start looking for other groups that you can connect with, and not just with the people who speak your language. That's why you're learning English. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you know?
Correct.
So if you stick to your own little group, you're not going to get far. Right? You're supposed to expand your horizons and also connect with other potential sources of information. So that's why you're in an international university.
True. And that's why we have a lot of organizations like clubs for the students. For example, student government is an organization which offers perfect opportunity for the networking. And they are very international. They have a lot of positions. They have a lot of events ongoing there, and they also represent the student body of Webster Vienna, which also can help them to develop the skills for the communication and also presentation skills, leadership skills, and so on. So that's also a great opportunity. And if someone wants to do their real networking with other proactive international students, then I would certainly recommend to join the Student Government Association. And in addition to that, we also have other clubs, like clubs for the interests, like debate clubs or philosophy clubs, psychology club, even sport clubs. Everything works when it comes to the networking and socializing in the new country.
Very important.
Very important. Thanks for saying that. So the other question, actually, I can see that you've got a real good support, as you said, not only on the hardware, but also kind of consulting and telling students how to find a job. However, is there any support? Because it's a German-speaking country, you know. I know that, for example, if you study in Vienna University, you have to pay to the campus Wien. Again, like 2,000 or 3,000 euros per semester to study, something you have to pay. It's not free of charge. But how about the supports here in Webster University? Is there any kind of support for students to learn German language? For example, I'm studying, let's say, international relation, and I want to also learn German. What's your support for that?
German for us is not a requirement for admission, and that's why it's not really a required subject. For the bachelor's degree students, there is a chance to take German as one of their elective courses.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's something that they can obviously learn on campus. And
this
that
is the question. Are they allowed to learn?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course.
And how much is it required?
Well, if you're a bachelor's student, it's part of your flat fee.
So it's free of charge.
It's not free, but it's counted.
It's included.
Yeah, it's included. If you want, it's not forced, because we have some students who, you know, they decide, I'm not going to stay in Austria. I can also work in other parts of Europe. So it's not a mandatory subject for students, but if they want to learn, they can learn on campus. For master's students, majority of them do it in some of our language schools beside us. And that is actually based on their schedule. So if they're studying in the evening, then they do a morning class. If they're studying in the morning, master students in psychology study in the morning. So they do the language class in the afternoon. right, or in the evenings. But
so once again, for a bachelor student who study here, mm-hmm. let's say that studying German beside the mm-hmm. other courses is kind of included, and they don't have to pay.
Yes, extra. It's part of the flat fee if they're a full-time student.
Okay,
great. Yeah, for masters, there isn't a lot because we don't have enough students who want. That's the real reason. The reason why we don't offer German at the master's level is there's no one wanting it.
I see.
We need a minimum number of 5 students to start it. Now, what we could do is we tell them which schools. It's not very expensive to learn German in Austria.
Yes.
So you can choose from a lot of what we call Volkshochschulen. There's one near us.
Okay.
There's one beside us as well. So there are a lot of schools with different price ranges, different schedules to match where you're available. And because German is the language in Austria, of course, it's offered everywhere. So you could choose to do that while you're, you know, while you have free time during the day, or if you're part-time, you can also do it on the side. But yeah, majority of our partner companies anyway, they don't require German automatically. It helps, mm-hmm. but they understand our students are mostly non-German speakers.
Oh, okay.
So of course, we're not going to connect them with just purely Austrian companies.
Okay, great.
And the United Nations does not require German at all. It's not even one of the,
official
the
languages
official
there.
Languages
yeah.
of the UN, actually.
I see.
So it's not something that is absolutely required for the employers that we invite here. But obviously, if you don't have German, you should be really good at other things, mm-hmm. right? So that's where you could really pick up. Even my team, for example, all of us were from different countries.
Yes.
Right? So none of us are actually Austrian. I may have the citizenship, but I'm not originally from Austria. So it's not something that we have very international faculty. We have very international staff.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. But you were talking about the international staffs and faculty mm-hmm. and movement. Let's say, I understand that back to your introduction regarding Webster University, mm-hmm. it's a university from US.
Mm-hmm.
I even saw on the website that if the student study here, he could have the experience, for example, to study in US, mm-hmm. Netherlands, mm-hmm. others. Could you just a little explain about that?
Mm-hmm. So we're part of a Webster network. You could also add to this if you want. So we're part of the Webster University network. Webster University is actually found in 8 countries. It's located in 8 countries.
Countries?
Yes, yes. Not all countries offer the same programs, of course. So the one in China only has MBA. But the U.S., of course, has the biggest number of classes and degrees offered. That's the U.S. in St. Louis, Missouri.
Because it's the main campus.
It's our main campus. Mm. They started in 1915. Mm. Then we also have Geneva, Switzerland. We have Leiden in the Netherlands. We also have Athens in Greece. We just opened Tbilisi in Georgia. And we also have a big campus in Tashkent, Uzbekistan. Granted, most of the students from Tashkent want to come to us,
okay.
not the other way around. But yes, we've had those campuses. And
so in Switzerland, US,
yes.
Netherlands,
mm-hmm.
and for example, I study here,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then next semester, I want to try mm-hmm. Switzerland campus.
Yes, so after 1 year, usually
2
semesters, we look at mm-hmm. the grades of the student, because if the student is not doing well academically and then they switch, there's a different adjustment period again. So that doesn't make sense if they're not doing well academically. So they have to meet a certain grade point average or GPA. So they would then apply for what we call a study abroad, which is temporary, 1 semester, either in Geneva or Leiden. We've had a student from your agency, actually, who transferred to Leiden, which is fine. He wanted to be in the Netherlands. Not a problem.
So it is also a possibility
to permanently site transfer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to apply again because they're already a Webster student, right?
Yes.
What we have to say is that if you're a study abroad student, you're paying tuition fees from Vienna, your home campus is still Vienna, and you're just doing a study abroad in the US or Geneva. Now, if a student I mentioned, he decided, I really like the Netherlands. So he said, I want to permanently stay, and that's what we call a site transfer. Yeah, uh-huh. So you could also do that. Now he's in the Netherlands. He still maintains contact with us, but he's a Netherlands student, right? So now mm-hmm. he's Webster Leiden. For those who transfer from other campuses to us, that's also a possibility. They switch from Geneva or Leiden or US to Vienna. So their home campus switches.
If I just want to, for example, go 1 semester to Switzerland,
that's fine.
Do I have to pay extra tuition fee to Switzerland? Or
so that's the difference. Study abroad means you're just temporarily attending another Webster, but
yes,
your home campus is the one that dictates your tuition fees. Now, Geneva is more expensive.
Yeah.
Do you know that Geneva is
36,000 euros.
36,000 euros. Swiss francs a year, right? So we're almost 24, 23, 4, 7, 8. But So yeah, so if you're only studying abroad temporarily, one semester, you're paying Vienna's fees.
Okay.
Right? Even though you're in Geneva.
And also you can keep all of the scholarships.
If you have a scholarship.
Yeah, if you have a scholarship. You can also do that. At Webster Vienna.
Then you come back after one semester and you continue your studies here. If you do a site transfer, then you adopt the new home campus's tuition fees. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the US, we had a student as well who was exploring. Transferring to the U.S., that means your home campus becomes the U.S. and you therefore have to pay their tuition fees. Mm. If you do a study abroad, the only extra thing you have to pay for is accommodation, right? Because, of course, you're not living in Vienna. So if you go to Geneva or the U.S., you have to stay in their dormitory. So we do not have our own dormitory. We allow students to live where they want to live. As long as they're showing up in classes, we don't care where they live.
Yes.
We have partners, of course, that they can choose from, but we don't force them to live anywhere. Mm-hmm. Right, the U.S. and Geneva, they have their own dormitories, and Leiden as well. They have their own dormitories, which means they have to stay there.
Okay.
Yeah, and therefore pay for those dormitories.
And you also mentioned about the scholarships. What are the conditions to get such scholarships, and what are these scholarships?
The scholarships, yeah, so they are for full-time students. That means that when they're doing the English program, they cannot apply for it, right?
Yes.
Because they're not full-time.
Yes.
It's only a number of credits, you know. So. But for students entering the regular programs,
yes,
right? So usually if it's the fall semester, they should apply by April or May. That's why they have to apply early anyway, because of the visa process. They can apply for a scholarship. We have partial scholarships for bachelor's degree students between 4,000 per year to 12,000 a year.
Okay.
Yeah. That's renewable as long as their grades are good. If
okay.
they don't do well academically, then they can lose the scholarship. For master's students, they have between 3,000 and 8,000 euros a year.
Okay.
Yeah, if they maintain that. And it depends on how amazing their grades are, how good their essay is, and what their financial need is. So we look at the finances of the family. So if the family is already a millionaire, we're not going to award a scholarship, right?
Okay.
So I always say we don't award millionaire scholarships. But if they can show us that, you know, they only have this income over a year or over a month, and we see that definitely that's not enough, then of course we can provide a partial scholarship. And then of course, as Stepan mentioned, we have the training scholarships where they can apply to work in a project 10 hours a week in a semester. That also reduces their tuition fees.
Great.
Yeah, cool. So there's every opportunity, and it really depends they really have to do their research before they apply and make sure that they understand, okay, how much is my scholarship, how much can I afford? Because, of course, once they're here, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, and scholarships are not automatically granted,
yes.
So there is a separate scholarship application,
yes.
And not every student is eligible to apply for the scholarship, because first we need to check the whole application and then check the financial need of the student, and in the case if the student is strong, then of course we can send the student the scholarship application link. But one of the most important things that we do not offer full scholarships, they are still only partial. Okay.
Yes.
So that's
about 25 to 50%.
Yeah. 50% is the maximum that we can give to the strong applicant with financial needs. That was the actual media room, and this is the room to edit the videos and audios.
Oh.
We also have some special equipment there, so if you want to see it, please follow me. So here we have mixers and some powerful computers to process the videos and audios. And so basically this is just the continuation of the video room, just for the editing of the videos.
So it's also part of the fee?
Absolutely, it's included in the fees, and this room can be used by the students without any extra hidden fees. Here we have the audio room. It was previously called the radio room because of the recording equipment. So let me show you here. So you can see we have the silent room for the recording of the audios, and this is just the computer to edit the recorded audios. Basically, this room is used for the students who are doing their own podcast, for example, if they need to record something for their projects, or for our strategic communications students, because they actually learn how to use this equipment, they learn how to edit audio, how to edit videos and so on. So this is an additional room which is also included in the tuition fees, so students do not have to pay anything extra if they want to use this equipment here.
If you want, we can have a last talk.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. I ask you, okay.
There's a lot usually, but yeah, we can always do another presentation for sure.
Yeah. And then we go around the campus,
yes.
mm-hmm. we make some videos, you just introduce where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last talk, mm-hmm. what would it be that you want to tell the students who are going to study in Webster? Please.
If for those who are wanting to expand their horizons and go to Europe and choosing a university to study either business or management, strategic communication, international relations, or psychology, we offer these programs at the bachelor's and master's level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I would say be careful with what university you choose, because usually once you start studying, it's really hard to change. And what we offer here is a university that cares about its students. We offer two diplomas. You can get an American diploma. So if you want to end up in the United States, you have the American diploma. You can also get the Austrian diploma. So if you want to stay in Europe, this is recognized in Europe. And that's what we offer to students. But with the support of a community that cares about their development, mm-hmm. and as long as they're willing to do their part and do the work, then they would become a very good contributing member of this community. So. And as long as they show up for whatever opportunities we put on the table for them and they do their best in their classes as well as outside of their classes, when they do their internships and whatever, then this is something that they could be successful in. We always ask our students, read the information, ask us directly or ask the agency if you have a question, because it's important to understand what you're getting yourself into. So for us, the more informed the student is, the more that we want the student.
Yeah.
So a student that does their research, reads the information we send, follows instructions, and asks us the questions instead of, you know, assuming or thinking that they already know the answers, it's always good to ask questions. We encourage that, and we also encourage that they follow the instructions so that they won't get lost and there won't be any mistakes in the application.
Okay, yeah. Great. And would you like to also add a few points at the last talk?
Yeah, so I would like to add that if the student really wants to experience the international environment and to live in one of the most livable cities in the world, I think Webster is one of the best places to study, because it's an actual place where the student can combine studies with exploring the world, with exploring
yes.
Europe. So there is a possibility to go to the US during the studies. There is a possibility to go to Asian countries, to go to other European countries. We are closely located to, Vienna is closely located to other European capitals. Bratislava is only 50 minutes away by train. So Prague is only 3 hours away by train. So it's not only about studies, but also about the exploring the world, exploring the Europe, exploring different opportunities, communicating with people, networking, and fighting the better future. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the purpose of the education. That's the purpose of the international university, to open the horizons, to show the better opportunities for the students, and Webster is doing its best to grant this to the students.
So this is the international relations department. That's why we have all of these maps here on the walls. Yeah, because students here are studying conflicts, diplomacy, political science, and other diplomatic related issues. On each floor, we also have printers and scanners. They are also included in the tuition fees, of course. So,
it's
free. Every student has the card, and so the card can be just put here, and then after that, the student can use a printer or scanner as much as the person wants to use.
So what is it here?
So this is called Mac Lab. This is basically our computer classroom with powerful Mac computers.
Mm-hmm.
It's used, extensively used by our English preparatory program students because of the listening tests and because of the IELTS software, IELTS preparation software.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you it here. It looks, it's very bright and fancy. Some Mac computers with equipment, with headphones, of course, for the English preparatory program students. And also this room can be booked by the regular students if they just want to study here. For example, sometimes the library is full before the
exams or during the examination week. So this room can be also used just for the preparation. They can just use these computers or sit here or work here or collaborate here. That's also a great place to have like a quiet study if the room is empty from the classrooms, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this place is called the Atrium. It's like the main hall of our university. Previously it was just a courtyard, the palace, because originally it was a palace built in the middle of the 19th century. The name of the palace is Wangheim, Palais Wangheim. So previously it was used by the single family, and then it was transformed for the other usage purposes. Yeah, so as far as I remember, there was like a bank or some kind of company before we moved in, and we moved in to this building in 2014. So since that period we are here. Webster University owns this building completely. Yeah. And so as you can see, it's quite a fancy building. It's a historical landmark protected by the Austrian government. However, inside we have all of the facilities and everything is renovated. So of course we have air condition and central heating and all other facilities for students, so they can feel comfortable here, both during the cold periods in winter and heat waves in summer.
These are the partners of the university.
Like sponsors, yeah, donors.
Sponsors of the university.
Companies donated to the development of our university, donated to the various scholarship opportunities, not maybe this year, but in the previous years.
Year, yeah.
That's why we call it the donor wall, so just to say thank you to our sponsors and donors.